Shabbat Shalom. And I'll tell you, since we got back from the Jordan trip, Yahweh's been working with me overtime. And it just seems that so many things, I am excited every day as I'm waking up, I'm learning a lot, and there's so many sermons that He's been given to me that I want to share, because I really believe that the message that was given to me on this trip is, the time is now. The time is at hand. Prepare my people. The time is at hand. And today I want to give a message somewhat connected to the two radio messages I did a few weeks ago on CERN. You know, I'm going to mention that the message isn't all on CERN, but I am going to mention that particularly in the beginning of the message, but because the message is called Darkness versus Light. Darkness versus Light. And before understanding about CERN and the Large Hadron Collider, I never understood how bad the darkness can get. You know, we know general sin and darkness that comes with sin, that's evil in itself. But really, when you really see this dark matter and what it is, how bad it could get. Daniel 12:4. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it. It says, "But O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall travel back and forth, and knowledge will be increased." We've talked about this many times in the end time, and we know it. There's never been in 6,000 years ever a society that has airplanes and cars and trains and all this stuff. But you know, what started the outbreak of knowledge in the end time is electromagnetic waves, you know, that basically come with radio and television and internet and these things. And that's why it's called electronics. You know, when you plug in, like what I'm using here is it's a electronic device. Your TV is electronic device. Your computer is electronic device. And when you look at this knowledge increasing through electrons, now that we're about 100 years in the future of it, has it been a good thing for society? No. You know, radio might have turned out to be, and again, you know, whether it's radio, TV, internet, yes, any of them are neutral. It's not that the internet is bad, it's not that radio is bad, it's not TV is bad. But, because again, you could use, like we're using for our website, preaching the good news to millions of people, the same through TV or radio. But, when we're looking now in that it's past, has it been used for a good thing? Absolutely not. How much evil has the world been brought through radio, through television? You know, when you think about it and you look at the TV, right? Up until 1972, you couldn't have cursing in a movie. You couldn't have nudity in a movie. They didn't even have a rating system. So when you're looking back in movies back in the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, you wouldn't see any of that stuff. You know, you just wouldn't see it. But then how bad television got. And even though a normal television wouldn't have that, you know, you could have movies, you can go to movies and see it. But then once you got cable television, I remember I was in high school when that came out. I think it was around 1980 or 1981, 79, something around there. And then all of a sudden through cable television, you can get that stuff right in your house. You know, and it was rare in between, you know, maybe HBO or something. And sometimes I think when it started, they only would put it on after 10 o'clock at night, maybe even only on weekends. But now as we've gone through internet and these things, you know, you have millions of pornographic websites that people can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week and get every evil you want. And what's happened to society with divorce, adultery, you know, spiritual adultery. You know, you have millions of false websites of false doctrine that people go to. That we have to say that technology through electromagnetic waves has not turned out to be a good thing. You know, if I had the choice, and I pray that all true believers would say the same thing, if we had the choice, we'd go back 100 years before all this. That we were better off without television, without radio, without internet. That our lives were much better, and the temptations that are there for brethren were much less. But now we're going into a whole new era. A whole new era of evil that I don't think anybody is ready for. Because this is, it's a serious evil. And I want to just read a little bit about it, about the Large Hadron Collider. For anybody who's listening to this, I'm not going to go into it in detail. You could go online in our radio section, and you could listen to the two programs I did on this in the interviews if you want to get all the information on it. It says, will CERN create black holes this time, or find the key to the universe? And we know now through CERN, and what is CERN? CERN is a company in Switzerland that is in Apollyonia, or the area that's called over there from the goddess Apollo and Apollyon, whatever her name is or his name, and basically has a 27-kilometer collider that goes in a circle, and they're taking these smallest bits of matter that they're finding, and they're sending at the speed of light and trying to collide them to bring the situation like that happened when Yahweh created the world. So there's billions and billions of dollars going into this, the top scientists in the world. And as we're going to see here, though, with this dark matter, it's a little more devious than it may sound on the surface. Will CERN create black holes this time or find the key to the universe? You know, which they're calling the God particle. Galaxies in our universe seem to be achieving an impossible feat. They are rotating with such speed that the gravity generated by their observable matter could not possibly hold them together. They should have torn apart themselves apart long ago. The same is true of galaxies and clusters, which leads scientists to believe that something they cannot see is at work. They think something we have yet to detect directly is giving these galaxies extra mass, generating the extra gravity they need to stay intact. This mysterious stuff is called dark matter. So again, they can break down neutrons and protons and electrons. They can break down these things, but they're finding even smaller matter that they didn't know about before, which they're calling antimatter. And they're saying our galaxies long ago should have broke apart, because what they're learning about physics and matter is it's not sustainable. So with the laws of, we know of physics today and gravity. So they're saying there has to be this antimatter that's an opposite gravity somehow that's holding this stuff together. And this is what they're calling dark matter. Unlike normal matter, dark matter does not interact with electromagnetic force. So the way that they were able to create all these electronic things we have today is through understanding the electromagnetic field and force. This is the opposite of that. It has nothing to do with electromagnetic force. This means it does not absorb, reflect, or emit light. Every single thing that we know today, every electron, every piece of matter, every atom, remits light and draws to light. Because as we're going to see, Yahweh is the light. But this dark matter, this antimatter, is the opposite of light. It's the opposite of light. And if you go online and you listen to the interview with the gentleman who's giving the interview who worked for CERN and got out of there, he was in the experiment they were doing with this dark matter. And he said that it was so evil, it was so sinister, because as they're trying to manipulate him with this dark matter, he said it's an uncontrollable feeling that every evil that's within every human being, because what? We have human nature, which is sinister at its core, comes out through this dark matter. So think today how hard it is in the world we're living in to have discipline and self-control, fruits of the Spirit, right? And here this man is saying that it's impossible. Because, like I said, with regular matter, like if you have a piece of wood, you have to do something to ignite it, to change. You have to light the wood, and then it becomes fire, and then the fire can become something else. With dark matter, it's the opposite. Dark matter cannot be contained. So it's not that you have to ignite it to contain it. Even nuclear weapons, you know, you just don't drop a nuclear weapon and it goes off. A nuclear weapon, even if you had the capability of having a nuclear weapon, it's very hard to blow off a nuclear bomb. Because there has to be chain reactions. Everything has to be exactly right. You have to have a delivery system. There's a lot of stuff. It's not that way with dark matter. Dark matter is the opposite. It can't be contained. So they are going into a whole different realm of demonic forces. You know? And they're doing it. They're already doing it now. This isn't something that's in the future. They're doing this now. They plan possibly as early as September to try to break through a black hole. They claim that demonic forces are giving them the knowledge on how to do this. And this is a sinister, sinister thing, you know. And as we're going to see in the Bible, there's a lot the Bible talks about this. When we're talking about antimatter and dark matter compared to the light of Yahweh. Unlike normal matter, dark matter does not interact, like we said, or emit light, making it extremely hard to spot because it has nothing to do with light, only darkness. In fact, scientists have been able to infer the existence of dark matter only from the gravitational effect it seems to have on visible matter. So they can't even see it. It's impossible to detect. The only way you can detect it is by the gravitational pull on matter that's changing. And they're saying there's got to be dark matter. Dark matter seems to outweigh visible matter roughly 5-1, making up to more than 80% of all matter in the universe is dark matter. Scientists think that dark matter particles were some of the few types of particles created in the Big Bang that are stable enough to still be around today. Experiments at the Large Hadron Collider may provide more direct clues about dark matter. Many theories say the dark matter particles would be light enough to be produced at the LHC. If they were created at the LHC, they would escape through the detectors unnoticed. However, they would carry away energy and momentum. Scientists could infer their existence from the amount of energy and momentum missing after a collision. And like I said, they're playing with fire. In this interview, this man said that they have created that through CERN, because he was saying normally it would take hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, to even create a few pounds of this dark matter. That's how. But he said through CERN, they can do it very, very quickly, you know, within a matter of weeks or months. And they created some of this dark matter. He said they were keeping it at a university in the United States. And it's, like I said, it's very hard to control this matter, to keep it confined. And he said what happened was, all of a sudden at this university, there started to be rapes and crimes and all kinds of things because people were totally out of control. And we already know. We know it through just the electromagnetic waves that you can control people's minds. They already do it at crowd control, at stadiums. That each of us has, we have electromagnetic pulse to our body. We have electricity in our body. And if they bring a wave to mess with the wave in your brain, they could change the way you think. And that's just when you're talking about electromagnetic. We're not talking about antimatter, dark matter. So in one way it's scary, but I have a lot of good positive things here to show us it's not that scary if you stay right with Yahweh. And I think this might be one of the most important sermons I ever gave, because people that are not right with Yahweh, people that are going toward this knowledge of the world, people that are embracing this as the next step of evolution, and that's what CERN is saying. You know, the same way 130 years ago, everyone was so happy that they were coming up with electronics and all these things. That's what these people are looking at today. This is the next step of evolution of mankind. And even to make people immortal, as the one man said. We're going to become gods. Don't get in my way. Don't get in my way. Well, he's got something else in his way. And it's not human beings, but it's Yahweh. I did a sermon a long time ago called Time Versus Eternity, another one that's very interesting to listen to when we're talking about this, because from Albert Einstein, he proved that if you modify space and velocity, you can alter time. They used to think before time was the constant, and it seemed like science fiction to go into time travel and whatnot, but really it isn't anymore. We know time is not a constant, and time can be manipulated, you know, where if... Like we talk about, you see that star up in the sky? That's how many million light years away. But if you could travel at the speed of light and you went up to that star and you came back to the Earth within one day, everybody would be a million years older or whatever it is. Because you went faster than the speed of time. You went by the speed of light. You know, but everybody else was going through normal time. So it is scientifically possible. When you look at that, because light is the constant, time is not the constant. And that's really what I want to talk about, because Yahweh is light. Yahweh is not darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light. There really is no real darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light, which means darkness can only exist when Yahweh isn't there. And Yahweh is not in CERN, and Yahweh is not in all this technological garbage that's going on today. Yahweh's in the light, and we need to be there. CERN is creating dark matter to alter the state of people and give their mind over to the anti-Messiah. Hoping to break through the black hole, enter parallel universes, release demons chained almost since creation. And all this is in the Bible, as we're going to see. Like I said, 1 gram of dark matter can produce up to 4 nuclear bombs, speeding neutrons, protons, almost at the speed of light, and colliding them. They're playing with fire. Absolutely playing with fire. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 2. Ecclesiastes 2, 13 and 14. It says, "Then I saw that there is advantage to wisdom above folly, even as light has advantage over darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I also know that one event happens to them all." So, I don't know how you've felt, maybe before hearing these messages, you know, about this kind of thing. But to me, darkness, although we know there is a real darkness, we know if the lights are out, there's darkness. To me, when I would read scriptures on darkness, they always seem more esoteric to me. They always seem like it's more of an analogy that Yahweh's using. But I realize now it's not an analogy. It really is not an analogy. That when I'm reading these scriptures on darkness and light, you got to realize this is about the realest thing you'll ever see in your life. That Yahweh is only light, you know. And that's why at creation, when Yahweh said, "Let there be light," he was not creating the sun, the moon, and the stars, because the Bible goes in a circle. So if you want to see what becomes before Genesis 1, go to Revelation 22. And what does it say? It says there was no sun, because they didn't need the sun for light or the moon, because Yahweh was there. So in Genesis 1, when Yahweh is creating light, he's not creating a sun, moon, star. That's on day 4. What he's creating is his presence. He's creating his presence in our solar system and in the atmosphere. And his presence is that light. And it's the light in our life. And without his presence in your life, it's not only dark as if there's no light on. It's an evilness. And that's what I'm seeing now. That when I think now of the word darkness, I think of evil. I don't just think of just not having light. Because anything without Yahweh is evil. It's evil, it's sinister. And we should be avoiding anything that doesn't have light, that doesn't have Yahweh. Isaiah 14, Isaiah the 14th chapter. Because one of the anomalies that has boggled my mind forever, I can understand how human beings could deny Yahweh, deny his existence. I can even understand how believers can lack faith sometimes. Because basically whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And sometimes when you're focusing on paying the rent or maybe having cancer or something else, the reality of Yahweh who's far in the heavens that you've never seen can seem like less of a reality. So I can understand why people could lack faith or even atheists even deny Yahweh. What boggles my mind to the thousandth degree, which is scary to me and extremely hard to understand, is how a being that Yahweh created, that was in his presence, that guarded the Ark of the Covenant, that was the first musician that sang praises to Yahweh, that was right there in his glory, Lucifer, the light giver, can become Satan, the adversary. That boggles my mind. Because he knew it. There was, you know, how could he be deceived? How could somebody who was in Yahweh's presence be that sick and perverted and deceived? And let's read it. Isaiah 14. In verse 12, "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you have fallen from the heavens, you weakening the nations, you were cut down to the ground, you upsetting your heart. I will go up to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of El, and I will sit in the mountain of appointment in the sides of the north. I will rise over the heights of the clouds, I will be compared to El Elyon." I'm not going to go to Ezekiel 28, but that's where I'm referring to. And Ezekiel 28 very clearly says he walked up and down in the Garden of Eden. He had every stone that was his covering. He was the covering cherub that watched the Ark of the Covenant. How on earth can this being become this evil, sinister, dark, dark creature? Because as Yahweh is light, Satan is darkness. He's the prince of darkness. That's what he's called. And he's evil and sinister. And what boggles my mind is how on earth believers with the spirit of Yahweh can see evil in front of them and not run in the other direction. How can believers watch movies that have cursing and nudity? You know, how can believers listen to music that you could, the beats are bomb, 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 satanic beats. How can believers allow darkness in their life and think it's not going to affect them? Because I'll tell you something, you know, and I shake when I think about it, that if Lucifer, the light giver, the top under Yeshua and Yahweh, the third in command, if he can be deceived and become the enemy, become the devil, become the prince of darkness, then wow, it can happen to me. He who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. It can happen to any of us if we allow darkness in our life. Because all you need is a little bit of darkness and it grows. You know, it's like cancer. You know, cancer doesn't start out over your whole body. It starts out as a little cell. And then it multiplies and multiplies and it multiplies. You know, before it goes throughout your body and it will kill you. Lucifer the light bearer becomes Satan the light taker. The darker it gets, the less light there is. Darkness is simply the absence of light. You cannot see darkness if light is present. Pride, self-centeredness brings darkness. Pride, self-centeredness, jealousy. You know, Galatians 5, I'm not going to go there, but you could read all of the fruits of the flesh. That's what brings darkness into your life. And you have to guard yourself. And let me tell you something. Light as well as darkness is a state of being. Light as well as darkness is a state of being. You could sit me in this chair and you could blindfold me where I can't see anything. And just one by one bring people into that room that I can't even look at. And I will tell you if somebody is darkness or somebody is light. I'll know it. I'll know it by my feeling because of the Spirit of Yahweh in me. There's been times, I told this years ago when I was still in Church of God, that I would get on an airplane with 300, 400 people on my way to the feast, and I'd see someone and I'd say, "You're not happening to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, are you?" And they'd say, "Yeah, how did you know?" Because the Spirit testifies against itself that we are the children of Yahweh. And you know it. You know it. Sometimes, and it doesn't have to be that they have long hair and tattoos and smoking a cigarette. You know, I mean, that's easy to see. Sometimes Satan, right, comes as an angel of light. Sometimes they deceive themselves. But if you have the Spirit of Yahweh, you're not going to be deceived. And you have to be able to see the difference. But if you're letting darkness in your life, you're not going to be able to see anymore. You're not going to be able to know what's good and what's bad. And then when that happens, you're done. You're lost. You have to keep your sanctity. You lose your sanctity, you have nothing. And there should be nothing in this world that you're willing to sacrifice that sanctity for, even for one moment. If you remember when Paul, they were trying to get him to circumcise, I think it was Titus, and he said, "Not even for an hour did we submit to this evilness. Not even to an hour." And do we say that sometimes? Maybe we're at work, and they ask us to do this. You know, how much were we going to sacrifice with the word of Yahweh? How much are we going to sacrifice to take our sanctity away and let a little bit of darkness in our light, in our life? Because a little bit of darkness will grow. Revelation 16 and verse 8. Revelation 16 and verse 8. Says, "The fourth cherub poured his bowl on the sun, and it was given to him to burn men with fire. And men were burned with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of Yahweh, the one having authority over these plagues, and they did not repent to give him glory. And the fifth cherub poured his bowl onto the throne of the beast, and its kingdom became darkened. And they gnawed their tongues from the pain, and they blasphemed the Elohim of heaven from their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their works." They didn't repent of their works. So even when the plagues are coming, they're cursing the name of Yahweh and they're not repenting. "But on the kingdom of the beast, it was darkness." It was darkness. And I'll tell you something. I would believe every true believer in the world, if they were asked, would have to say, "This is a world of darkness." But we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't even gotten to the holding room. We ain't seen nothing yet. When this is released, when these demons come into this world, when this evil is accepted worldwide, when Satan comes and sits on his throne for 42 months, there's going to be a darkness in this world that we could have never imagined. And praise Yahweh, we can't imagine it. But if you don't start abstaining from it today, you will never make it through that time. Because here's the good news. Here's the good news. That when they did these tests at CERN, if somebody had the Spirit of Yahweh, if they had a strong belief in the Bible, that darkness couldn't affect them. There was no effect on it. It's not that everyone could be affected, because then where would the power of Yahweh be? But the problem is, Satan is a deceiver. Just like with Adam and Eve, he had no power over Adam and Eve, but what did he do? He came and tricked them into giving their power up. And you can't let that happen in your life. We have something that hardly anybody in the world has. You know, one out of 10 million people, the Holy Spirit living in you. The same Spirit that lives in Yahweh, the same Spirit that lives in Yeshua, is living in you. And you have to strengthen that Spirit. You know, you have to have resolve in your life. You have to have discipline and self-control and allow that Spirit to work. And when people want to say, I won't follow a man, tell them, get behind me, Satan. Never talk to that person again. Cross their name out of your email list. Because those are the kind of people that will take you right down to this darkness. Because it ain't going to be that way in the kingdom of Yahweh. There's not going to be everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. That's the kingdom of Satan. And if you give in to a little of that darkness now, I'm telling you, it'll take your life like you can't imagine. I see people in the congregation, you wouldn't believe how many people over the last couple of years I'm counseling with big problems. How many sexual problems are going on in the congregation? And that doesn't surprise me, because the Bible says it. What surprises me is that in many cases, there seems to be no shame. There seems to be no shame. People that are addicted to pornography. You know, people that have committed adultery. Youth in our congregation that are getting pregnant without being married. And there seems to be no shame. When darkness comes into your life, what was that darkness? And I'm telling you, it's we're at the end of the end. It's time we got to wake up. And you have to choose. You have a choice in your life. Light or darkness. And Satan cannot force you the same way Yahweh won't force you. It's a choice that Yahweh puts before us, but with the Holy Spirit, we can overcome all darkness. There's no darkness that can't be overcome with the Spirit of Yahweh, but you've got to submit to it. And that's what scares me. What scares me is what the believers are allowing into their lives, and that's causing this. That's the part that scares me. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we've read this before. But it's scary to think that in 2 Timothy, this is talking about the believers in the end time. Not the world, but the believers. 2 Timothy 3. But know this, in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty or unrestrained, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of righteousness but denying the power of it. Even turn away from these. These are many of the people in the Messianic movement. Many of these people that will tell you Torah, 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 and they don't live by a word of it. They don't live by a word of it. Sad to say. You know, they want to fight you on divorce and remarriage. They want to fight you on holiness. They want to fight you on makeup. And all these nonsense points that aren't even that important, because they don't want to be sanctified in their lives. And they want to have a form of righteousness. They want to sit out there and say, oh yeah, I believe in the Torah. But yet they're denying the power of it, because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their life. They simply are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their life. People are arrogant, selfish, they mock Yahweh, they mock the Bible, promote homosexuality openly, pornography everywhere, cross-gender, abortion, divorce. It's a world of darkness, void of the light of Yahweh. And like I said, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. But I have no fear, because I know that if I stay on that straight line, we have the promise of Yahweh that no darkness can come in your life that you don't let in your life. But woe are you if you let it in. Woe to you if you let that darkness into your life. Ephesians 5, in verse 5. Ephesians 5, in verse 5. He says, "For you should know this, that anyone guilty of fornication, or an unclean person, or a covetous one, who is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and Elohim." Wow, can you imagine? A covetous person is put in the same line with a fornicator and an unclean person. You know, like I said, if you got 20 coats in your closet, and you go and buy one simply because you have the money, you're a covetous person. Whatever spirit you inhibit is the spirit of what you are. It's that simple. As a man thinks, so he is. Working on another good message on that we'll have shortly. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for through these things the wrath of Yahweh comes on the sons of disobedience. Then do not become partakers with them. For you were then in darkness, but now are now in the light of the Master. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and you must discern what is acceptable before our Master." Darkness will blind you. Darkness will blind you. And that's just like Adam and Eve. They were blinded by Satan because they didn't unconditionally surrender to Yahweh. They didn't unconditionally surrender. They thought they knew better than Yahweh, the same way people today think they know better. You know, they don't want to follow. Women out there that want to be the leader, even though it says so clearly in Scripture, a woman is not to usurp the authority of a man, they don't care. It's rebellion, it's satanic, and it's darkness. It's darkness. And brethren need to start separating from darkness. You're not doing anybody a favor by befriending people that are rebellious and evil. You're not doing them a favor. You know what you're doing? You're bringing your own accountability on Judgment Day. Because when somebody is evil, you should go up to them and you should be honest with them and tell them why you're disassociating from them. To say, "I don't want darkness in my life. And if you have this darkness, I'm sorry. I'll pray for you, but until you repent, I don't want any contact." Because by association, that darkness can come into your life. Because the difference with antimatter is, when you look at electronics, right? Now, if I took a plug that was electric surge that couldn't handle this, and I plugged it into the wall, all these lights would go out. Because we have wiring that goes throughout the building, and it's all connected to each other. Dark matter isn't like that. Dark matter is, if you have a dark matter that's in United States, and they can't control it, it will affect the dark matter that's in Switzerland at CERN. So dark matter is a whole different situation. And when you're talking about spiritual dark matter, I always say that, put 100 people in a room, if there's two alcoholics, they'll find each other. If there's two rebellious Jezebels, they'll find each other, you know. If there's two angry people, they'll find each other, because that's what happens. What you give out is what comes back to you. It's a spiritual thing, you know. And what spirit you're portraying out there is what you're going to attract back to you. And you don't want to attract darkness. And if there's people with darkness in their life, you know, be a grown believer and tell them that. Tell them that for their own good and your good. 1 John 1 and verse 5. 1 John 1 and verse 5. Says, "And this is the message which we heard from him and we proclaim to you. Elohim is light, and no darkness is in him, none. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son, Yeshua Messiah, cleanses us from all sin." And that's why, isn't it so blessed how good and how lovely it is for brethren to dwell together in unity? And isn't it wonderful when you have people of like mind that you could be with? But how sinister of people that aren't of like mind that want to come around us only to pervert us with their darkness. And if I see it, I'll stop it. You know, but I can't be everywhere at one time. But you, each person in your life, you have to stop the darkness that you're allowing to come into your life. Is there darkness in your life? What TV are you watching? What internet? The books you read? The music you hear? Remember what it says in Corinthians. Everything we do, do to the glory of Yahweh. You know, somebody asked me one time, do you think this music is appropriate for the Sabbath? And my answer was, if it's not appropriate for the Sabbath, it's not appropriate for any day. You know? Any music that I won't listen to on the Sabbath, why would I listen to it on any other day? Doesn't mean every song has to be religious. But what it means is, if it's not appropriate, then why would you listen to it on any day? If it has bad beats, sometimes the words can even be okay, but boom, boom. Satanic beats that you're allowing, you're inviting dark matter to come into your area when you're doing that. We've got to get mature in these things because the time is running short. Luke 11, verse 33. Luke 11, verse 33. And I know for most of the brethren that will hear this, it's hard to really understand it. And like I say, thank Yahweh that I can't totally understand it. Because I don't know how it is to be that sinister. I don't know it because I'm not there. And I thank Yahweh for it. But when I read scriptures like this, Luke 11, 33, no man lights a lamp and sets it in a hidden place or under a basket. Rather upon a lampstand, so those who may enter may see the light. That everywhere we go, our light should be shining. That people should be seeing. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Therefore, when your eye is true, all your body will be bright. But if it should be evil, your body will also be dark. Watch then that the light in you is not darkness. And if your body is light and does not have any dark portion, it will be enlightened. All of it is a lamp, by its flame enlightens you. In Matthew, when it talks about this, it says, if your eye is dark, whoa, how deep is that darkness? How deep is that darkness? And like I said, there are people that will come among us for no other reason that they're being sent by Satan to bring darkness to our congregation. And we got to be wise enough. We got to be wise enough. And like I said, as time is going on, there's a reason why with the mark of the beast, you know, Satan has tricked society into thinking it's so simple as just taking a chip in your arm. For all we know, any of us could have a chip in here. If you've ever been to a doctor or a hospital, you might have a chip. Who knows? You're not going to lose your eternal salvation because there's a computer chip in your hand. You will lose your eternal salvation if you willingly give over to the Prince of Darkness. If you willingly give your spirit to a life of darkness, you'll lose your eternal life. And that's what it's really about. That you've got, just like we were talking last night, you have the spiritual kingdom of Yahweh within his congregation, and you have the physical nation of Israel that's here today where we are. And the two are getting ready to cross each other, you know. And you have the same way when you're looking at light and darkness, you know. And you're looking at Satan's kingdom. You have the spiritual darkness, and then you have a physical darkness. And those two kingdoms are crossing each other. And you're going to have to make a choice. You know, and I'll tell you something. If people can't make a choice now while you're free, if people can't quit a job because it has absolutely no good meaning to Yahweh, you know, and they could work these dead-end jobs, some that are even breaking the commandments, how on earth will they ever get through this? You know? How will you ever get through the end time? You have to start making decisions in your life that are drawing you to the light and away from the darkness. You know, you can't take any more of the status quo. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, woe to those who say evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that what the world does? Right? Isn't that what the world does? They say that abortion is a woman's right to choose, instead of calling it murder, infanticide. They say that homosexuality is a life choice, instead of calling it an abomination for what it is. They call evil for good and good for evil. And that's the point. If you allow even a little bit of darkness in your life, this is what will happen. You won't know anymore good from evil. And believe me, I've been not necessarily congregation of Yahweh, but I've been a guest speaker all over the world to many Sabbath-keeping congregations, even sacred name congregations. And there's a lot more darkness in Sabbath congregations than you might want to think of what people think is good that's evil. And why is it? Because they're not homeschooling their children? because they're working in the world, because they're mixing. They're mixing the good and the evil, the dark and the light. And at what point are the believers going to say, enough is enough? Yeshua died for my sins. I'm giving 100%. I am going to make this commitment no matter what it costs me. You know, a job is not worth the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, if I got to move out of my area, there was a woman one time, counseled with me years ago, and she was telling me she was having a problem with alcohol. You know, so I said, okay, let's try to figure it out. You know, well, I come home from work, I pass the liquor store, buy some liquor, and I drink it. All right, come the other way. No, there's a liquor store on that side. Okay, how about going to... No, there's a liquor store there. Well, you know what? I told her, then move out of your town, move out of your state, move out of your country, or leave the earth and go to another planet, because no drunkard will be in the kingdom of Yahweh. Deal with this problem and deal with it now. Instead of sitting here like it's not a big deal. We're allowing sin in our lives and it's affecting other people, and we're looking at it like it's just not a big deal. It's dark matter. It's dark matter. Let me tell you, for people that have that neutrality, you know, remember neutrality is of the devil. For people that have that neutrality mind, you will accept the mark of the beast. Believe me when I say it. You have to get your mind so firm on what's light and what's darkness and not have any compromise in your life. That is the only way to beat it. Because then Satan has no power over you. It's like, you ever see that the club in the car? You know, it's that metal pipe you put in your steering wheel, right? And you lock it so someone doesn't steal it. Now granted, if someone wants to steal your car, they can come with a blade or whatever. But chances are, if there's 100 cars there, and your car has that club, whoever's going to steal a car, they're going to go past yours and go to the path of least resistance. It's the same way with Satan. Don't you think he's going to go to the path of least resistance? If you're holding firm and you're strong and you're not compromising, he has no power. He'll go to the next guy. Don't give him an inch in your life. Don't give him an inch in your life that he's going to take a yard. Verse 30 of the same chapter, Isaiah 5, it says, and in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea, when one looks at the land in low darkness. Distress and light will be darkened by its clouds. Isaiah 47, because I'm telling you, Babylon has become a place of darkness, and not only Babylon. We're talking about it here in Israel. Israel is almost like a Babylonian colony. You know, whatever's going on there, they want to bring over here. And there's a lot of darkness here in Israel, and they're going to get punished for it. And I have whole messages to give on that. It's not my message today. But the key is why I'm going to hit now on Babylon is because Babylon is the source of it. Babylon is where we got Hollywood and TV and all this evil stuff that came out. They're the source of it. It's everywhere in the world now. There's nowhere you're going to go where it's not evil, to at least some degree. But Babylon is the source, and that's why Yahweh is judging them first. And he says, and go and sit on the dust, O virgin of Babylon. Isaiah 47. A throne is not to the daughter of the Chaldeans, for they shall not again call you tender and delicate. I'm going to drop down to verse 5. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for they shall no more call you the Lady of Kingdoms. Go into darkness. Remember, Revelation 18, Babylon has become the place of every foul spirit and every evil thing. Verse 6, I was angry with my people. I defiled my inheritance and gave them into your hand. And you gave them no mercy, and you made your yoke on the age very heavy. And unfortunately, like I said, Babylon is not, it's probably the hardest place on earth today for believers to live there. You know, because of how defiled a place it is. And Yahweh says it. You know, that his inheritance has been defiled there. You have said, I shall be a mistress forever, until you did not set these things in your heart, and you did not remember its end. Now then, hear this, O pleasure seeker, who lives carelessly, who says in her heart, I am, and there is none else. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. This is what they want to say. I go to America, and I give a message like this at the Unity Conference, they'll probably start stoning me. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about repentance. They don't want to hear about America being Babylon. They don't want to hear about the change that has to come in the life. He says, but these two things shall suddenly come on you in one day. Loss of children and widowhood. According to completeness, they will come on you for your many sorceries, for the power of your great spells. For you trusted in your evil. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it is turning you back. And you said in your heart, I am and there is none else. For this evil will come on you. You shall not know its origin. And mischief shall fall on you. The word for mischief there is Hovah. Like some people say Jehovah, which shows it can't be the name of Yahweh. You shall not be able to cover it, and ruin shall come on you suddenly, and you will not know where it's coming from. Babylon is a place of darkness. Like I said, you look at Hollywood and movies, five top searches on the internet are all pornography and dating sites when you look at that stuff. Five top searches that you see. Gay marriage now. You're getting ready to give a nationwide edict from the high court, which doesn't matter either way because it's already legal in 37 states. It will be legal in 50 states before too long. Tattoos everywhere. Oh, I just can't believe when you're seeing just people tattooed from face to bottom. I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know? Just anything that's defiling to Yahweh. Because why? They don't know what they're doing. You know? How many youths there are cutting their wrists? Because it's a cultic practice. It's demonic. You know, they don't know it, but they're giving in to these demons through public schools, through music, through all the evil. And the parents are saying, we're hoping for the best. Hoping for the best. Come on, give me a break. There's nothing good to hope for there. Not unless you take back your life and you take back your families. 56% divorce, and yet 54% don't even marry anymore. They cohabitate. Can you imagine? 54% of people cohabitating. And now, for the first time ever, 50% of children, one out of two children in Babylon, are being born out of wedlock. One out of two. And they don't want to deal with this. The breakdown of the family. That's never even talked about. Nope, they want to talk about the cops. They want to talk about this. They want to talk about anything else. But the core of why this stuff is happening. And it's the breakdown of the family and the evil that's coming. Amos 5 and verse 18. Because there's a day coming that is not a day of light, but a day of darkness, because it's Yahweh's wrath on the world for all the darkness they brought. And he says, woe to those desiring the day of Yahweh. What is this for you? The day of Yahweh is darkness and not light. It is if a man fled before a lion and the bear met him, or he goes into a house and leans his hand on the wall and a snake bites him. Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light? Even very dark, and not any brightness in it. And that's why there'll be a famine of the word. The day of Yahweh is his wrath on mankind because the whole earth has become evil and wicked and dark. And woe, how dark that can get. Zephaniah 1 in verse 14. Zephaniah 1 in verse 14. Says, the great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and rushing greatly. The sound of the day of Yahweh. The men shall cry out bitterly. That is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the ram's horn and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress to men, and they will walk like the blind, because they have sinned against Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured as the dust, and their flesh like dung. The silver and the gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yahweh, but all the earth will be consumed by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make a complete end, a speedy end of all those living on the earth. This is, we're talking about heavy, heavy punishment that's coming because the darkness covers all the earth at that time. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 3. He says, do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day will not come unless first there comes a great rebellion, which we're seeing, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Yeah? This is what CERN is going for. They want to break through the black hole. They want to bring this parallel universe. They want to bring these demons out. Revelation, the 9th chapter, read it. Star comes from heaven, the key of the bottomless pit. It opens it up. The one opposing and exalting himself over everything being called Elohim. We read about it in Isaiah 14. Or object of reverence, so as for him to sit in the sanctuary of Elohim as an El and sets himself forth as if he is Elohim. Do you not remember I told you these things when I was with you? And now you know what has prevented him from being revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working until he or it, who is now the obstacle, is taken out of the way. So, we look, we see that there's always been evil, but something has stopped this man of sin of coming. What stopped him? What stopped him is he's chained, he's bound. He's not allowed to come out yet, you know? He's in an abyss somewhere, and until that time of Revelation 9, Yahweh is not allowed to know. And then the lawless one will be exposed, whom our Master Yeshua will consume by the spirit of his mouth and will destroy by the brightness of his presence. Gotta walk in the light. You've gotta walk in the light. There can't be any darkness in your life. He coming is due to be working of Satan in all power, in miraculous signs, in lying wonders, okay, technology, and in all deceit of unrighteousness in those who will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And because of this, Elohim will send them a working of deception for them to believe the lie. That those not believing in the truth, but who have delighted in unrighteousness, may all be damned. Wow. This is what Yahweh is saying there. But we ought to thank Yahweh always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Elohim, because Elohim chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith. See, the way to defeat darkness is to stay separated. To stay separated. Exodus 10. In verse 22. Remember the plagues that came on Egypt. Exodus 10, verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand to the heavens, and darkness and gloom was in all the land of Egypt. 3 days. They did not see each one his brother, and they did not rise up each from his place for 3 days, because it was complete darkness. Yet to all the sons of Israel, there was light in their dwellings. You know why there was light? Because they stayed sanctified. They stayed in Goshen. They didn't leave their place because there was only darkness on the other side. How about us? Are we staying sanctified in the light of Yahweh, or are we crossing over to the darkness of Ramses? What is it? What is it in our life? Joel, the first chapter. Because as we're entering into another phase of Yahweh's end time, maybe the last phase before, you know, the great day of Yahweh comes, each of us has to look into our life and we have to see where there has to be change. Joel 1 and verse 15 says, "Alas for the day of Yahweh is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Chapter 2, "Blow a ram's horn in Zion and shout an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all those living in the land tremble. For the day of Yahweh approaches, it is near. It is a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness as the dawn spread out on the mountains, a great and strong people. There has never been the like, nor shall there ever be again to the years of generation to generation. A fire devours before it, and a flame burns behind it. The land is the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Yea, also there is no escape for them." Are we looking forward to the kingdom of Yahweh? Or are we looking behind the Babylon? What is it? I say this so many times. So many brethren, they love the captivity more than the reward. You know? That's what I loved about this trip to Jordan. You know, we saw the wilderness. We saw the promised land. And it's a good place. It's a real good place. You know, and I'll take the wilderness any day over Babylon. And even better than the wilderness, I want the kingdom of Yahweh. What's it going to be? It's a choice that each of us have to make. Let's drop down to verse 10. "The earth will quake before them, the heavens will shake. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will gather in their light. And Yahweh will give his voice before his army, for the camp is very great. For he who does his word is strong, for the day of Yahweh is very great and fearful. Who can endure it? Yet even now turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with wailing, declares Yahweh. Like I said, if you've never cried when you've repented, you've never really repented. Yea, tear your heart and not your robes, and turn to Yahweh your Elohim. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he pities concerning the evil. Who knows if he will turn in that pity and leave a blessing behind him, a food offering and a drink offering for Yahweh your Elohim. Blow a shofar in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, gather the elders, gather the children and those who suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. This is showing. We're toward the end. Let the priests, ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, have pity on your people, O Yahweh, and do not give your inheritance to shame, for a proverb among those of the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their Elohim? Then Yahweh will be jealous for his land and have pity on his people. See, the regathering can't happen until there's a great repentance. And coming here proudly, throwing money around, saying, oh, Ephraim, mine, you better let me in. It ain't going to get you anywhere, except maybe killed. Maybe even lose your eternal life. There has to be a great humbling on each of us. There has to be a dire repentance. There has to be a humbling of soul to realize we've all been part of the problem. And we all have to collectively take any part of darkness out of our life. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 1. He says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need I write to you. Right? We all know the times we're living in. I don't have to write about this or say it. We all see it before us. We were watching the video last night on weather and all that. We see what's happening. For you yourselves know accurately that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them like the travail to the woman with child, and not at all shall they escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night or not of darkness. That's why I say, we are not in darkness, that day will overtake us. If there's darkness in your life, you're going to turn around and that day's going to be there. And you're going to be in trouble. Because you're going to see, on our own, none of us have the power to fight this darkness. It's only through the Spirit of Yahweh. But the Spirit of Yahweh can only work if you surrender to that Spirit. You are sons of light and sons of day, not of night nor of darkness. So then, we should not sleep as the rest do, but we should watch and be sober. For those sleeping sleep by night, and those having been drunk are drunk by night. But let us who are children of the day be alert, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as the helmet put on the hope of salvation. Because Yahweh has not appointed us to wrath, but for obtaining our salvation through our Master Yeshua Messiah. So, as scary as it may sound, right? Black holes, parallel universes, CERN's Hadron Collider. We have nothing to fear if we're repenting and we're turning to Yahweh. We're called, we have a spirit. He's called us out from this. He hasn't appointed us to wrath. But you can appoint yourself to wrath if you stay in the darkness. The only way to assure that wrath that Yahweh has will not come in your life is to come out of the darkness. And don't think that trials are wrath. Trials are purification. Trials are good. Trials is something that Yahweh does because he loves us. You know, I'm talking about wrath. And wrath that's coming, like we're reading here, this is wrath. This is bad. This is eternal damnation that's coming on many people. John the 9th chapter and verse 4. John the 9th chapter and verse 4. Says, it is necessary for me to work for the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one is able to work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We know the day is coming where Yeshua is going to be rejected worldwide. And we know that many brethren will be martyred for his name's sake. They'll be blessed to be martyred for his name's sake. But while he is still in the world, he is the light of the world. And we have to draw to that light every day. Genesis 6. Genesis, the 6th chapter. Because what CERN is trying to do is exactly the consequence would happen from Genesis, the sixth chapter. I'm going to read the first eight verses and then drop down to verse 11. Genesis 6, because it says in the end of days, it'll be like the days of Lot, homosexuality, rampant sexual sin going all throughout the earth, and also like the days of Noah. It says in Genesis 6, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 6, verse 1, and it came about that men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. Isn't it very interesting that up until 1850, there was never more than 500 million people on the earth. Now we have 8 billion. 8 billion. So the same is here. Men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. And the sons of the Elohim saw the daughters of the men, that they were good, and they took wives for themselves from all those whom they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with mankind in their going astray. He is flesh. And his days shall be 120 years or times. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days. And even afterwards, when the sons of the Elohim came into the daughters of the men, and they gave birth to them, they were the heroes who existed from ancient time, men of renown. And Yahweh saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. Wow, look around the world today, we see it. And Yahweh sighed with sorrow that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. And Yahweh said, I will wipe off man whom I've created from the face of the earth, from mankind to beast, to the creeping thing, to the birds of the heaven, for I repent, I regret that I made them. And Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. So as this story is going on end time, think of the end time as I'm reading it, and Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Put your name in there. Because each of us that are baptized in his name have found grace. Each of us have found grace. So in the end time, it's not one man that he's protecting through this. It's his remnant. And each of us have found grace in his eyes. Why? Because we repented of the darkness in our life and we came to the light. That's why Yahweh says we found grace in his eyes. Verse 11. And the earth was corrupt before the Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. Interesting enough, that word is Hamas. And Elohim looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them along with all the earth. And Yahweh did say he'll never destroy the earth again by flood. But he did not say he would not destroy it by fire. We know in the end time it's going to be destroyed by fire. And Yeshua even said, you know, if there's a fire that comes in the end time, what is it to me if it's already lit? Yeshua didn't light the fire bringing this destruction. But he's sure going to enhance that fire throughout all the earth, getting rid of all evil. Genesis 7 and verse 1. And Yahweh said to Noah, you and all your house, come into the ark, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. And verse 5, and Noah did to all that Yahweh commanded him. And verse 16, and those going in, male and female, of all flesh, as Elohim had commanded him, and Yahweh shut the door behind him. I'm telling you, it's time to come into the ark. It's time to come into the ark. That was the only place during the end time that you were protected. Yahweh made an ark to protect the people, to take them away from the darkness that was in that world. And if you're mixing with the darkness, you're not going to get in the ark. Because once the door was closed and Yahweh shut the door behind them, I'll guarantee if we found the ark today, you'd find a lot of scratches of fingernails on that door. That when the water started to come and the flood started to come, you better believe that people would have been banging and screaming and scratching, like he says. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't wait till that time. Get into the ark now. It's time to get into the ark. Check every aspect of our lives. Are we glorifying Yahweh with our jobs? Are we training our children properly? Are we staying sanctified from the world in all things? It's time to get into the ark. Isaiah 26 and verse 19. He says, your dead ones shall live, my dead body shall rise up. Awake and sing, dust dwellers, for the dew of the light is your dew, and the earth will cast out departed spirits. If this isn't the end time, I don't know what is. This is the resurrection that's coming, right? And then look what he says. Come, my people, go in your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide for a little moment until the fury passes. For behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to visit his iniquity on those dwelling on the earth. The earth shall also reveal her blood and shall no more cover over her slain ones. Come, my people, go in your rooms and shut the doors behind you. It's time to get into the ark. The ark is where there's safety. The ark is where the protection is there. The ark is the light of Yahweh. It's time to separate. And it's time to get into the ark. Time to sanctify ourselves completely from the evilness that's out there in the world. Matthew 25, because this is what you risk if you don't. Matthew 25. I have so many brethren telling me that through trials they're feeling weakened. I've never felt more strong in my spirit. Physically I might feel weak at times, but in my spirit, man, it is burning within me. You don't want to feel weakened in your spirit. Because you know what that means if you're weakened in your spirit. It means the Holy Spirit is going down. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went to a meeting of the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, they did not take oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the bridegroom, delaying, all nodded and slept. And at midnight a cry occurred, behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They ran out of the oil. They ran out of the Holy Spirit. They didn't sanctify themselves. They compromised. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you. But rather, go to those who sell and buy for yourself. Go to the internet. Go to all these false teachers. Buy another one of the videos for $79.99 that you can't live without. And look what happens for the ones that are doing it. But they going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. The door was shut, just like Yahweh shut the door of the ark, just like Isaiah 26 says, go in your chambers, shut the door. The people that were not prepared, the people that were compromising, the people that were not sanctified, the people that had darkness in their lives, and time went on, and time went on, and time went on, and they just wouldn't repent. When the time came, and they had to go out to try to stir it up, they got locked out. And the wedding feast came, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the rest of the virgins also came, saying, Master, open to us. But answering said, truly, I say to you, I don't know you. Therefore, be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. But we sure know the time frame. And I'm telling you, the message that Yahweh gave me was, the time is now. Prepare, my people, the time is now. The time is now. Now is the time. Because as this darkness covers over the world, if you don't get yourself ready now, you will succumb into that darkness. It's time to get into the ark. Is your lamp going out? Don't be outside the ark when Yahweh shuts the door. Don't leave the camp. Remember, there's danger outside the camp. Stay close to the trunk of the tree. Last scripture I want to go on is Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Starting in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, bright as crystal, coming forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. This is coming from underneath Mount Zion. You know, the Gihon Spring, this is it. This is the water that's coming up out of there. In the midst of the street and the city, and on this side and that side was a river, was a tree of life producing 12 fruits, according to 1 month each, yielding its fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. Wow, praise Yahweh. Just like today, so many people getting back to healthy things. You know, getting away from white sugar and things that are destroying our body, but getting back to oils and things that can help us and the the leaves of the trees. And there will be no blight anymore, and the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb will be on it, and his servants will minister to him. Praise Yahweh. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Praise Yah. And night will not be there. Night will not be there. There'll be no darkness. And they have no need of a lamp or a light of the sun, because Yahweh Elohim will give them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said, these words are faithful and true. And Yahweh Elohim of the holy prophet sent his cherub to show his slaves what must happen quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is the one keeping the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold, he's coming quickly. And we look forward to this. This is so encouraging to read this. That, yeah, there's darkness that's going to cover this earth. But like I said, remember, during the time of the Exodus, there was no darkness in Goshen. It was only darkness in Ramsey. And the same thing today. Stay close to the trunk of the tree. Don't leave the camp. You know, get inside the ark. Close the door. Stay sanctified from that world. Because I'm telling you, a tsunami is coming like you can't imagine. And it is not that far away. And whoever is not inside that ark, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Yahweh is the light. And as long as we're in his presence, we are in the light. We need to examine if we're not hearing the voice of Yahweh. Like I always say, who moved? Who moved? So praise him that he's giving us a little more time to get ready. Take advantage of it. Environment is 90% of your battle. Protect your environment. Protect your environment. You know, I say it, it's 10 times harder to break off a relationship than to start one with somebody. You don't need to everybody you meet get everybody's email and internet. Be selective. Sure. Look for the brethren who are trying to live this way and make good relationships with. But the ones that aren't living that way, the ones that want to live in darkness, you've got to let them go by the wayside. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad communications ruin good habits. Some brethren, unfortunately, are choosing to live in darkness, allowing evil in their lives, and we can't feel sorry for them. They simply have to repent. They have to repent. Darkness is the absence of light. As children of light, we need to remove ourselves from all darkness. Darkness will put out the light. Separate from all darkness in your life. In the kingdom of Yahweh, there's only light. So praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom.